Let's turn this morning to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14, and beginning in verse 22, let's hear the Word of God. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Heavenly Father, ask your blessing on the word this morning. Let your Holy Spirit illuminate the scriptures to us. Let our hearts and our minds be open to receive them. I thank you for that. Amen. You know, every once in a while, bad news comes to us. Information that we consider bad news anyway. And the tidings that we receive and consider as bad news can range anywhere from triviality to very serious things. People can get bent out of shape and declare bad news when they find out that the ice cream is gone. But we can go all the way to the other end and we can find bad news being delivered when we learn that someone that we love has a serious illness or has even passed away. And people respond differently to the reception of that information. And it really, the reaction, the response, often depends on the degree of the news that comes in. Well, Jesus had received the news that his cousin, his forerunner, John, had been beheaded. And he actually sought to have some time alone. You know, remember, Jesus had a human nature as well as his divine nature. And he just wanted to be alone. You know, his friend had passed. But even in the trying time, even in that hour when he really wanted to be alone, he was still about his father's business. Nothing about him had ever changed that. Jesus was here to fulfill his father's business. The multitude would not let him alone. They had been following him around, and so rather than get mad and say, "Look, I need my time," he ministered to the people. In fact, he even gave them lunch. There was a point where he was ministering to people, and the people that were being ministered to were getting hungry. Now, that never happens to y'all, right? Especially on Fellowship Sunday. Yeah. But there he was, preaching and teaching to well over 5,000 people. There were 5,000 men, but there were more than that. And they were hungry, and he miraculously feeds them by multiplying 5 little barley loaves and 2 sardines. He causes that to flourish, and they're all well fed, and in fact, there's leftovers. Now, an event like that, if you had attended a meeting like that, I think that would serve to stir you up. That would get you excited about who this great teacher was. And more than get you excited about it, it would encourage your support for him. And the people there were no different, except their excitement about Jesus, their support for Jesus, for the most part, was for the wrong reasons. They didn't really know who Jesus was. They just thought he was this great teacher who very possibly could be the Messiah who was going to deliver them from political oppression. But they were all in favor of him. Well, as the day went on, you know, the guys were starting to get tired because the disciples were there helping Jesus minister to all these people. And he instructs his disciples to go get in a boat and leave to the next place. You guys take off and go because we need to wrap this thing up here. We need to close it out and be going on to the next thing. If the people saw Jesus walk away, but the disciples didn't go anywhere, they would maintain some hope that maybe Jesus just excused himself for a few minutes and he was coming back. But when they look and they see the disciples leaving, then Jesus is going to be following shortly with them. And, you know, they'd have to realize that, okay, this meeting really is over. You know, this one is done. Jesus sends the disciples alone off to the next spot because once again, he wants to acquire some alone time. You know, I find it interesting that there are so many people that fear being alone. There is a real dread of being alone. I have to be with somebody all the time. I have to be in conversation with somebody some of the time. That's why we have cell phones now, right? Because we can never be out of touch. Yet Jesus cherished his alone time because it was an opportunity for him to sit and converse with his Father and have his spirit rejuvenated. It was a time for fellowship. And Jesus loved those things. Now, you know what? We ought not become hermits. We really shouldn't. I mean, because while there are those who absolutely hate being alone, there are others who hate being with people. And they'll say, no, you know. And we need to draw a balance in there. We ought not to become hermits. But we should learn to value and to properly use the time that we get alone. The disciples were obedient. Jesus had told them to go on. And so they went and they got into a boat, pushed out into the water, and went merrily on their way. And Jesus enjoyed his quiet time. But for the disciples, things were not so quiet. As we've talked about before, the Sea of Galilee was a tricky place. And it was notorious for sudden storms, just because of the way that God created that little area of geography. The winds would channel down through the mountains just right and stir that sea up, that giant lake, things would get a little hectic for a while. And as we've often observed, most of the disciples prior to their calling had been experienced fishermen. They made their living on the water. So it was not like, oh, what's this all about? They understood what the water was all about and being out in those boats. But just because you are experienced at something doesn't mean you can't be shaken up. You know? In my lifetime, I have logged hundreds of thousands of miles on the road. Yet there are still things that happen almost on a daily basis that are exciting, and not necessarily in a good way. Same with these fishermen. You know, these guys, they knew all about moving a boat around and being on the water. There were still things that could get them worked up. It's dark now. They're out into the water, and they're out by a couple of miles. And for me, that's not my favorite place, you know? I don't like being that far from shore. I like to be, you know, where you can walk back if you need to, you know what I mean? But they weren't. They were a couple of miles out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. The water was deep, and the boat was vulnerable. King James says they were in a ship. They weren't in this big, massive ship. They were in a rowboat. A boat big enough to hold, you know, 11 guys, but a rowboat nonetheless. That's how they were getting across that thing. This was not no massive ocean liner. And they're out there, and it's dark, and that's when the wind starts to blow. They're out there at their most vulnerable point, and that's when the storms come. Just a short time ago, everything was good. They didn't have any worries. Just a short time ago, they were on shore. They were ministering to people. They were with Jesus, and they were doing God's work. But now, on their way to the next appointment, this unexpected ordeal. It's easy to maintain our faith when times are good. And I wonder if in those good times, if our faith is really faith. The wind was blowing hard. The waves were growing. And this little boat is being violently tossed. And this had been going on for hours now. They left shore, we're going to guess, because we don't know. We don't have exact times. But somewhere between 7 o'clock and 9 o'clock at night, they shoved off to head across to their next location, their destination. And it would be easy in that situation to start to question and ask, is this the end? Is this really it? We had just had a great day of ministry. We saw one of the biggest miracles we've ever seen, and now we're all going to die. Is this really how it's going to end? And it says, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. The fourth watch was between 3 o'clock and 6 o'clock in the morning. And Jesus went to them walking on the water. Now let me tell you from personal experience. When you're out at that hour of the day, your mind can play tricks on you. When I was regularly running nighttime runs, it was not uncommon where I would see deer where there were no deer. I'd get deer running across the road, but there weren't any deer there. It would be possible in this very stressful situation that the disciples find themselves in to see things that weren't there. And they look out, and walking on the water is the figure of a man. Folks, that just ain't natural. when the disciples saw him, they didn't recognize him. They declared, it's a ghost! Seafaring men were always very superstitious about things. So old habits sometimes die hard. And they see a ghost walking to them on the water, because people just don't do that. They didn't have any spotlights on their boat. And so they didn't see details. They saw a figure of a man coming toward them. It wasn't bad enough that they were in the middle of a storm, the boat's tossed up and down in the waves, the wind's blowing. Now a spook is coming for them. It was all over. You can see them maybe giving each other, hey guys, it's been good to know you. Had this specter come to take them to a watery grave? You know what? We're not so very different from those guys. How often do we attribute our trials, our scary moments, if you would, to the workings of the evil one? When in fact, they could be the workings of Christ himself in an effort or an avenue of demonstrating his love for us. The Lord himself leading us down the path that we're on. I like a little quote from Dr. Hendrickson. He said, how frequently does not that which at first appears to be a stumbling block turn out to be a stepping stone to glory? That's how we view it. We see bad things. We see injury coming to us in some way. We see something that's detrimental to our being, be it physical or otherwise. And we say, this is bad. This can't be God. This has to be an attack of the evil one. Do you think Job had some similar thoughts at one time? And these disciples out there rolling around in the waves, you know, God couldn't have done this. The Lord couldn't be blessing us somehow in this. How can it be? Well, our blessed Lord didn't antagonize them. He immediately identified himself to them. He didn't allow their minds to be tortured. He didn't want them dwelling on the idea that this is a ghost. He immediately speaks to them words of calm. He says, be of good cheer, or take courage. You don't have anything to be afraid of. It is I, or I am. God incarnate was speaking. Do not be afraid. We can go through the scriptures and we can find over and over and over again God's charge, his counsel to people who are fearful, to not be afraid. Why? Do not be afraid because you're something special? Do not be afraid because, you know, we're really bigger than this whole situation. Do not be afraid because God in his providence is leading us, is caring for us, is holding us through these difficult trials, through these scary moments. Speaking to these men. This was Emmanuel. This was God with us. His word is power. and even as he was with his disciples, so by his Spirit he is also with us. We need not be afraid. We need not be fearful. He is with us. We are not alone, and neither are we in harm's way. We're the children of God, if indeed we are. And as such, his care is always about us. Peter was a guy. Peter was a cool guy. Really liked Peter. Peter had flaws. And I like that about him, because then I don't feel so bad. I say, Peter had flaws, I got flaws, we all got flaws. He was, though, perhaps one of the most, if not the most, impulsive of the disciples. And while all this is going on, he says, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. It always cracks me up. Lord, if that is you, you tell me to come to you on the water. If this was some impersonator, if this was not the Lord, he could have had a field day. Yeah, kid, come on. Yeah. Come on, jump in the water. You can do it, yeah. But you see, Peter actually gets to this point because his confidence is great in the Lord. And where the Bible records that he says, Lord, if it is you, what he really said was, Lord, since it is you, command me to come to you. Since it is you. You tell me to come on the water. He makes his request, and the Lord gives him a quick answer. He says, come on down. He says, Peter, come ahead. And I wonder how long Peter thought about it. Have you ever gotten really bold, thrown down a challenge at some point, say, hey, you know, and then when the challenge is picked up, reconsider and say, maybe I was hasty. Maybe I shouldn't have actually said that or done that. How long did Peter think about it? I'm thinking Peter didn't think about it very long at all, because he was Peter. He just didn't think about stuff. He just did. The Lord says to him, come on out. So Peter climbs out of the boat and starts walking toward Jesus on the water. Peter walking on the water. Again, folks, that's just not done. Whatever fear Peter had, for the moment, subsided. Now, we want to notice one thing, that Peter gets out of the boat and starts to walk to the Lord. But nothing changes. Peter didn't jump out of the boat and walk on calm, glass-like water to the Lord. Peter got out of the boat and the waves were still crashing. The wind was still blowing. The environment, nothing about him had changed. But his confidence was solely in Christ Jesus. So he jumps out of the boat and starts walking. He was focused on Christ and not the circumstance about him. But he was human. And the trust that he has for Christ, as soon as he looks about him at the situation, turns to doubt. Now we, from our perspective, can say, well, how silly is that? Peter, you're out of the boat. You're obviously walking on the water to see the master. It's all working for you. Why are you doubting now? But it's when his focus shifted to the circumstance instead of the master that he fell. It was at that moment that natural law took over and Peter took a swim. Well, those were not the kind of waters that you would be swimming in, and his doom was sure had he stayed there very long. And he quickly gulped a breath of air and he said, Lord, save me! By God's grace, Peter knew who to call in his desperate time. Did Jesus have any fun with Peter? No. That wasn't a time. That wasn't a time for play. Peter was in a situation where left alone would lose his life. Picture this as best you can. Because it's at this moment where Peter cries out to the Lord that the Lord walks over to him, reaches down, grabs Peter by the hand, and pulls him up out of the water while standing on the water. Why did you doubt? You of little faith, why did you doubt? Peter doubted because he took his eyes off Jesus. Because when you take, when you take your eyes off the Lord, there's room to doubt. When we engage our own human intellects and our own sophisticated ways of thinking, when we remove our eyes from the one who has all things in his hand, then there's room for doubt. I've been praying forever and ever and ever for my loved one to come to the Lord. It's not happening. Probably never going to happen in this lifetime. Excuse me. I've had this need in my life. I've had this physical ailment. I can't get it. It just won't get better. Been to the best doctors. Seen even better nurses. Nothing's happening because our eyes have turned from the great physician to lesser physicians. Because our thoughts, our focus, our trust goes from the creator of all to the creature. It's the Lord Jesus. It's the Lord Jesus where we must focus, where we must go. That is, he is the one where, from which we will derive our comfort. He is the one who cares for us. It's in his presence. It's in his power. It's in his promises and in his love. We'll find peace. Jesus just asks him, Peter, why'd you doubt? He didn't stand and berate him. Beat him over the head. He said, why? But he reached down and he picked him up. And together, this is something that just gets by. He didn't carry Peter. He picked Peter up and the two of them walked back to the boat. And as soon as they got into the boat, the storm quit. The faith of everyone there, even if you hadn't been the guy in the water, imagine being the guys on the boat watching this thing take place. It was enough to reinforce in their own minds that this was the Son of God. And the scriptures tell us they worshiped him. Shouldn't that be our motivator? Shouldn't that be the thing that gets us along? Our focus is on Christ. Our rest is in Christ. And our response should be to worship him. Let's pray.